Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
In the next few moments, I want to talk to you about listening to God, one of the goals of our prayer life. And I really think it's both parts of prayer are very important. One is being able to talk to God, not in a half-hearted way, not in a lazy way or a lethargic way, but with fervency to be able to talk to God and to tell God what's on our heart and what we need from Him. And not give up talking to God about it until we either receive what we're asking for Him to do or we have a release from the Spirit of God that we don't need to pray about it anymore. Old timers would call it praying through. There comes a point when you prayed and prayed and prayed and you feel a release and you know God's going to answer your prayer. So part of prayer is talking to God. Then the other part of prayer is cultivating a maturity in our life where we're not only hearing from God, but we're listening for God. And we can discern in our spirit when it's God that's speaking versus if it's us telling ourselves what we want to hear, or whether maybe it's the enemy getting involved and trying to put things in our heart or mind. And so I think that's part of the art of maturity is learning to hear from God. Something that's true of listening to God is that God speaks in a variety of ways, and we err if we get in some kind of rut, if you will, or pattern or habit of saying, well, this is how I know God is speaking to me. Because the minute you say that, that's the minute that you've completely lost the right frequency. Because God is not going to be confined to your and my habits. He speaks in a variety of ways. That's why we have to listen carefully. We have to cultivate, if you will, a listening heart. I love what Solomon prays, 1 Kings 3:9. In the Message, it puts it this way. Here's what I want. God, give me a God-listening heart. So one version says he's asking for wisdom, but the idea is that God, I want to be able to hear your voice. I want to, in my heart, know what it is that you're doing and how you're leading so I can lead your people well, discerning the difference between good and evil. God, give me a listening ear, a listening heart. Now, as we're in the Christmas season, I think one of the very interesting things is to look at Joseph, the husband of Mary, and the father of Jesus, not the biological father, but he was tasked by God with being Jesus' earthly father. And you think about that, you think about the responsibility of that, that you're going to be raising the Son of God. For both Mary and Joseph, a very daunting thing. But if you're God the Father, what kind of person would you want to raise your son? When you start saying, here's the qualities I would want the father of my son to have, what would they be? I would think at the top of the list would be the quality of I want somebody who's going to listen to me. I want somebody that when I speak and try to give direction, he's going to be tuned in to my voice. Here's what's interesting about Joseph. And I would suggest to you, it's the primary thing we know in Scripture about Joseph. We don't know a lot about Joseph because Joseph is in the early part of Jesus' life. At some point, Joseph passes off the scene, and scholars assume that there came a time when Joseph passed away. So that by the time Jesus begins his ministry, Joseph has already passed away. But what's interesting and what we do know about Joseph is Joseph was a man who listened to God. Joseph was a man who is repeatedly, when you see him in Scripture, he's hearing from God. And as we look at those examples in Scripture, we're going to learn some lessons on hearing from God. So just quickly, some lessons from Joseph on hearing from God or listening to God. Number one, a listening heart obeys even when it doesn't understand. A listening heart obeys even when it doesn't understand. I mean, after all, what good is it to hear from God if you're not going to do what God tells you to do? For some people, that's a real issue. You're not hearing from God because God's already told you what to do and you haven't done it. So if you want to hear from God, go back to the last thing God said, do it, and watch God begin to speak to you about those areas of your life where you'd like to hear from Him. Now watch this in Matthew chapter 1. The birth of Jesus took place like this. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. Before they came to the marriage bed, Joseph discovered she was pregnant. It was by the Holy Spirit, but he didn't know that. Joseph, chagrined but noble, determined to take care of things quietly so Mary would not be disgraced. And while he was trying to figure a way out, he had a dream. God's angel spoke to him in the dream, "Joseph, son of David, don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit conceived. God's Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. She will bring a son to birth. And when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus, God saves, because he will save his people from their sins." Then Joseph woke up. He did exactly what God's angel commanded in the dream. He married Mary, but he did not consummate the marriage until she had the baby. He named the baby Jesus. Now, here's what's interesting. Surely that explanation, he did not understand it. That would create as many questions or more than it would answer. But what Joseph doesn't do, what a lot of people will do with God is they'll say, well, you know, I just don't understand. It just doesn't make sense to me. And you know, before I'm going to take that step of faith, I got to know where that's going to lead. I got to know what God's going to do. I got to know how this thing's going to play out. Can I just say that kind of mindset will keep you from hearing from God? Because if you have to understand His will before you'll do His will, then there's a lot of His will that cannot be done. There's a lot of things you just don't understand. There's a lot of things God just doesn't tell us. God tells us enough for us to do His will, period. And when we do the part that He tells us to do, then God will reveal more to us. Joseph obeys. He has a listening heart because he obeys even when he doesn't understand. Here's the second thing I notice about him. A listening heart obeys immediately. Matthew chapter 2. And it's very important. Sometimes we have a tendency to question God. We have a tendency to say, well, you know, I'm gonna have to think about that because in order to do that, I'm gonna have to give up some things maybe that you enjoy or I would enjoy or things that, you know, like, well, if I'm gonna do that, I can't do that. And there's some of these things where because we can find ourselves God asking us to do something and we're like, I'm not sure, or I have to think about that, or, you know, maybe I need to pray about that a little more. And we find ourselves delaying what we really do know to be the will of God. Yeah, and the result is, at that point, we're not obeying God and we're not going to hear from God in the way that we were or that we would like to. Watch this. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother. So remember, the wise men come, they give gifts, they've stopped in Jerusalem, they've said to King Herod, where is the one who's been born the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, we've come to worship him. Herod gets the wise men in, he says, where's the King of the Jews? What are they talking about? And immediately the priests know, hey, if the Messiah is born, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. So Herod is going to go and slaughter the infants of Bethlehem so he can wipe out whoever this king was that the magi or the wise men were going to worship. Get up, the angel appears to Joseph in a dream. Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother. The angel said, stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother. I mean, that night.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, so if he's dreaming and he has a dream, and that night, that means instantly. He's like, Mary, hey, get up. What do you mean? Hey, I've just had been warned in a dream. An angel, we got to get out of here. If he doesn't do that, it's not going to go well for him.
Right.
It's not going to go well for baby Jesus. The issue is never, is God speaking? He's always speaking. The issue is, are we listening? Are we hearing? Are we obeying, or are we delaying our obedience? Because the longer you wait, here's three things that happen. The longer you wait, the less sure you are that you've heard his voice. You know, so God speaks to you, and like, you know, when God speaks, you know that you know that you know. There's times you have an impression from the Lord, and you say, you know, I just feel impressed by the Lord. So that's a way of saying, you know, I think that's the Lord. I'm not completely sure, but I don't want to delay. I'm going to operate on that. But you felt like you maybe heard from the God. There's other times you just know. You just know. Say, how do you know? I just know. I just know that I know. And if you sit and debate that within yourself, well, I wonder if that was God, and I don't know, and maybe, then what happens is the less sure you are that you heard his voice. Second, the softer God's voice gets. Now, I don't know about you, but I want God's voice to be as loud and as clear in my life as it can possibly be. And the only way to ensure that is to make sure that when God speaks, I'm taking care of God's business, that I'm attending to God's directive. Here's a third thing. The harder obedience becomes. You know, sometimes God asks us to do things that would not be maybe our preference, or that we might not feel particularly gifted to do, or that we might say, boy, you know, that could put me in an embarrassing situation, because what if they, you know, oftentimes I think God's prompting has to do with sharing with people in certain situations or saying things to certain people, and we can begin to wonder if that's really the Lord, and we can sit there and debate it and then miss the opportunity. Or it just gets to a place where we say, you know, I'm just not sure. You know, especially I think sometimes when you're thinking about, let's talk about missions. So you're in the missions emphasis, and you're hearing the need, and the Lord is speaking to you, and he's saying, I want you to step out and to give. Listen, if you don't act on that right at that point, and you wait till Monday, you wait till Tuesday, by Friday, I can assure you, you will be less, all things being equal, way less convicted by it.
Yeah, that's true.
You're like, I don't know. I thought that in the service, but I don't know. And so what happens is you don't do it. So now you're not obeying God. And because you're not obeying God, now all of a sudden you've really cut yourself off from some of God's blessing that he wanted to show you, his ability to provide beyond what you could have given to missions in a way that would have blessed people, blessed a missionary, would have reached all kinds of people, would have resulted in obviously financial blessing, because God's never going to owe a person anything. But you missed it because you waited. You had to stop and think about it. You knew it was the Lord in that moment. You knew God was telling you, listen, you know, you need to do this, but now the week passed, you got to the end of the week, and you come to church, and we've moved on. We're not talking about missions anymore because we had the missions emphasis. Now we've moved on, and you're like, oh, well. And you never obeyed God. But now, a week later, a month later, 2 months later, you're like, God, I just want to hear your voice. Wow. Well, hello. The last time he spoke, you're like, I don't think I want to do that. Are you with me on this? I mean, I'm just simply saying that the best way to maintain a heart that's sensitive to the things of God is to immediately obey God. And I'd rather be wrong and have thought I heard the voice of God and was obedient to it, only to find out that maybe that wasn't, than to have missed what was the voice of God and the blessing that would have been attendant with that. Number three, a listening heart is constantly in tune with the Lord. Now watch this in Matthew. It's very interesting. Matthew 2:19. Again, we're talking about Joseph. When Herod died, so now Herod, the king that tried to kill baby Jesus, he's gone. An angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Get up, the angel said. Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead. Now think about this. So God has come to Joseph and said, listen, I want you to take Mary to be your wife, because that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She's going to give birth to a son. He's going to be the Son of God. Call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. Joseph's hearing from God. The baby's born, and now all of a sudden an angel is saying, listen, get out of town, because Herod's going to kill the baby. Joseph's hearing from God. Now he's down in Egypt, and all of a sudden he hears the, again, an angel appearing to him and says, go back to the land, because Herod's dead. So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son, Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. So now he hears that Herod's son is on the throne there, and he's a little afraid. But obviously, here's what's happening in Joseph's mind and in his life and in his heart. He's saying, God, I don't know. That's Herod's son. I'm afraid. And Archelaus, by the way, was as violent as his father. And so, you know, Joseph's like, man, I don't know what I should do. God, show me what to do. Watch what happens. Then after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. I mean, this is an individual who is constantly hearing from God. What's interesting to me is God could have told Joseph when he appeared to him when they were living in Egypt, the whole deal. He could have said, listen, now go back, and when you go back, you're going to find out Archelaus is there, so skip that place, go on up north, go to the place. You know, God could have told him everything, but God didn't tell him everything. Yeah. God told him enough to do God's will. Get out of Egypt. Yeah. Then he gets into the land of Israel, and God says, don't stay in the southern part, go up to the northern part. He told him, now think about this, only as much as he needed to know to take the next step. That's the way God works. You know, some of you are not advancing to the degree you would like and the Lord would desire because you frankly think you need a lot of information. And you won't move forward because you're waiting on God. You're saying, well, you know, God, I just have to know how that's going to work out. Well, guess what? If that's where you're at, you're not going to take the steps of faith that will lead you into the will of God. I love the way the Proverbs puts this in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. What that's saying is when you're walking with God, it's like you see like the sun's barely coming up and everything's still shadowy in the morning and you can't see everything clearly. But the longer you're walking with God and you're walking on that path, the brighter it gets. You know, for Joseph, the more he's walking with God, the brighter it gets, the more God reveals. Take the first step and watch God reveal all the succeeding steps. You say, well, why does God do that? Because God doesn't want to overwhelm us. I was talking with somebody yesterday in my office, a gentleman who's in ministry, another denomination, and he was talking to me about visionary leadership, which, you know, I'm a bit of a different cat on that kind of thing. Because I have a tendency to believe that my job as a leader is to be a good steward of the opportunity. And he, as we were talking, he said, but don't you think that leaders need to, in the big vision thing? I said, you know what? I think when God speaks to a person's heart, a leader should declare what God has spoken. But I said, the fact of the matter is, I can't see as far as God can see. I can't know what God's going to do. And honestly, if we're gonna try to reduce leadership to what I can think of, it's gonna be way less than God's gonna ever do, because I could have never thought of any of this. I would have never imagined. So what I wanna do is I just want to hear from the Lord. And whatever the Lord's got, I want to try to be faithful to step into that, whether I understand it, whether it makes sense at the time. I want to just say, you know what, the Lord's put this in my heart. I'm going to pursue it and see what happens. Yeah. And the thing is, when you live like that, it creates a dependency on God. Because you know enough to take that step, but you don't know what the next step is. So what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to seek him, right? You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to say, well, God, I knew to do this, but what's next? What do I do after that? And that's where the excitement begins. Some of you want too boring of a Christian life. Honestly. I mean, the life of faith is lived at the deep end of the pool. The life of faith is lived in that Abraham, by faith, Abraham, Hebrews 11:8, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Talk about thrilling. Wow. I think it's good to be in that place, not because of your own decision, but because of God's working in your obedience to him. And God desires that fellowship with us, and so you're leaning on him. Well, quickly, we'll have the musicians come. Number four, a listening heart is cultivated in God's presence. This is why I love the prayer meeting, because I think what happens is you can sense the Spirit of God moving in a place, and it teaches you to it sensitizes your heart to his moving in your own life. And as you sense him moving and you watch whether it's the musicians, whether you watch the pastors, whether you watch as different things and you know happen, your spirit bears witness with it. And that teaches you to respond to the presence of the Lord in your own life. I also think it's really important to sense different, just to be sensitive, to live in this sensitivity to the Lord, that you're sensitive, where you're just, but that happens in his presence. And that's why reading the word and having a regular time in the presence of the Lord prepares your heart for the things God wants to do when you're not having your devotional time. In fact, let me just say this to you. If you're only expecting to hear from God in your devotional time, you're going to miss a lot of times that God wants to speak to you.
That's right.
Because again, there are things happening all around us in the spirit world. We understand that from the things we've been talking about. A couple months ago, Debbie and I were praying about something, and you know, we're praying and we talk about it. And she and Savannah were up in Kansas City, had taken off to head up there for something, and I was working on my computer, and I mean, instantly, I felt the Lord about the thing we'd been praying about, and I really didn't have a compelling desire one way or another. I was a little bit ambivalent. I was like, you know, whatever the Lord has is great. And I felt like the Lord, right in that moment, said, you need to stop what you're doing and you need to pray because I want to do this. And I kept typing and I felt like the Lord said, if you don't pray now, it will not happen. Man, I stopped. I had honestly the most amazing prayer time. It was like, wow. I called Debbie and I said, man, I'm just telling you, that thing, there was no reason in the natural that you'd say it was going to happen. And I said, that is going to happen. I know it. And 4 days later, it did. So amazing to watch that. And I'm just saying that's the way God wants to work in everybody's life. Does God speak in my devotional time to me? Surely he does. But I would venture to say he speaks all the time in a variety of ways. And you want to cultivate that sensitivity. That's what your devotional time does. That's what your time here does. A listening heart is cultivated in God's presence. The only other times we see Joseph, very, very interesting. So we see him in the Christmas story. Angels are talking to him. But the only other time we see Joseph in the Bible, guess where he's at? He's at the temple. It's very interesting. So what kind of father would God want raising his son? He would want a dad who loved the house of God. Amen. You know, can I just say, dads, grandpas, future dads, be a lover of God's presence. Amen. Be a lover of the house of God. I mean, it's really very, very interesting. Look at it, Luke 2 and 22, and then verses 25 through 33. When the days stipulated by Moses for purification were complete, they took him, that's Jesus, up to Jerusalem to offer him to God. So they're going to dedicate him to the Lord. And in Jerusalem at that time, there was a man, Simeon by name, a good man, a man who lived in the prayerful expectancy of help for Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him, and the Holy Spirit had shown him that he would see the Messiah of God before he died. And led by the Spirit, he entered the temple as the parents of the child, Jesus, brought him in to carry out the rituals of the law. And Simeon took him in his arms, blessed God. God, you can now release your servant. And so here he is. Joseph is bringing him to the temple. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 33, we read this. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. So Simeon and then Anna, they're in the presence of the Lord. Powerful things happened. Later, 12 years later, we read this, Luke 2:41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. So they are in God's presence. A listening heart is cultivated by being in God's presence. It's why the Wednesday night prayer meeting is so critical. It's why listen, you would want to be in church every time you could be. Honestly. So you would never want to think of, well, you know, we went to church last week, so it's not a big deal if we go this week. No, you'd want to go to church. Why would you want to go to church? Because you'd want to be in the presence of the Lord, because you want to cultivate your heart, because you know God's going to bless you, and you give the first part of your week to him. Do you think God's not going to bless the rest of your week because of that? I'm telling you that he is. And a listening heart is cultivated by being in his presence. And one of the places that I think God consistently speaks to our hearts is when we're in the altar. I mean, if I'm in the auditorium and I'm praying, I'm invariably going to be down here, at the front. Because I just believe there's something about being in the area where people meet God, and it's where people get saved, it's where people get healed, it's where God speaks to people, it's where people get delivered, it's where people hear a word from God, it's where God meets his people. And so tonight, in just a moment, if you need to hear from God, or you want to cultivate, some of you have gotten, your heart has gotten calloused toward the thing, not toward the things of God, but toward the voice of God. And you just need the Lord to do a work to soften your heart so you can hear his voice. I'm gonna pray, and we'll let the Joplin, Justin, you can come up and pray at the Joplin campus, but I'm gonna pray here, and then I'm gonna invite you to come into the altar. Heavenly Father,